Well, alrighty, gang, welcome back to the Act of Self-Protection podcast. I am yet again your host, Mike Williver, and with any luck, with God's will, I remain your favorite former Fed. With me today is a new friend of mine, a young man, as you can see if you're watching this. His name is Caleb. Caleb hails from, how did you refer to your hometown when you emailed me, Caleb? I can't remember what you said. Was it Mogadishu or Beirut?
I said the Brazil of the United States, Houston, Texas.
Houston, Texas. That's right. Whenever we
I saw that in a comment on one of the videos on the channel one day, and I was like, that is hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm taking that.
We just, in fact, earlier today, we're taping this on January 31st. Earlier today, John and I filmed one of our badge cam videos, and it was from Houston. And
yeah.
I think most people have heard of the incident because there was a big accident following a pursuit, and the police got into a big shootout, and there was a civilian present, and he was able to help drag one of the injured officers, and he like live streamed it at the same time.
Well, yeah, I think I saw that where he was dragging him to safety. The officer was shot in the leg, I believe.
Yes. And so we broke that one down today. And of course that was out of, this is what I do now when we do the videos, out of, can you guess? It's either Houston or Brazil. Houston, Texas, folks. So it's kind of a running joke at this point. So anyway, thanks for coming on. I'm sorry to hear about the Texans. That was very exciting to see CJ Stroud lead the team almost past the first round.
But almost had it.
A lot of promise there. As a Commanders fan, I don't have a lot of hope anytime soon. So at least you guys have a spark. Caleb,
there's always next year.
That's right. That's what we always say. Caleb is a clerk, a retail clerk. And as we discussed briefly in our very brief pre-interview, is looking to pursue a career in something related to the music industry, maybe songwriting. So, you know, if you're out there listening to this and you're looking for a songwriter, what sort of music were you looking to do, Caleb? Like generally speaking,
I don't really have any specific types. I like it all. You know, I just, whatever comes to my mind is what I like to put down. You know, I'm a fan of like classic oldies. I like country. I like, you know, I like some gospel here and there.
Right.
You know, I like some of the newer stuff mixed in, you know, pop, rap, and all that kind of stuff.
How old are you, young man?
I'm 22, going to be 23 in May.
All right. So I'm exactly 30 years older than you, and I'm terrified to ask what you consider to be an oldie. We're not even going to talk about it. It's probably something that came out when I was 30, if I had to guess. So
for me, oldies would be probably songs that my mom listens to, because she calls them oldies. That's why I call them oldies.
All right, fair enough.
Maybe anything from like the 70s, 80s. That'd be my oldies.
There you go. Yeah, for me, somebody sent me a meme today, by the way, that said, and this may not mean a lot to you, Caleb, but it showed a picture of the first day of MTV being on the air back when they showed music videos. It says, that day is now closer to Pearl Harbor than it is to present day. And that just broke my heart and made me feel very old.
Oh, no.
Old and feeble. All right. So at any rate, your incident happened at work. We're not going to go into any detail about where that work is. It's a retail establishment. And you did send in some video of the incident. I don't know that we're getting that on the channel, but if we do, John will reference this podcast on that video so people can circle back and listen to this. Okay. Prior to this incident, were you sort of a self-defense minded person? Were you an ASP viewer, martial artist, firearms, anything like that?
No, I've never really been like a self-defender in that sense. I'm more of like an escape and evade, as I've heard be said on the channel. I like oh, where was I going? You know, I've never really been like a big fighter, you know. Yeah. I'm sure, you know, if it really came down to it, you know, I would hold my own, but you know, I don't want to get into a scrap if I don't have to, because you know, people are crazy nowadays.
As they say in The Mandalorian, that is the way. Like, if you can always avoid the fight, unless, you know, there's an innocent third party who needs rescuing or something. I'm a big fan of escape and evade. Just
right
for so many reasons that we've mentioned before, especially when it comes to the criminal justice system, because you get into a fight out in the world somewhere, you never know how it's going to turn out. You never know if you're going to accidentally seriously injure somebody and end up being the one the police are looking at. If you can avoid all that, avoid all that. But your incident happened at work. And I think it's a topic that comes up a lot on the channel, where there's someone stealing from wherever, you name it, whatever store. you know, right. Walgreens, or I think it was Walgreens, got run out of Cali because people were just going in there and wantonly stealing, filling up shopping carts with stuff, and nobody was stopping them. So it's kind of a current topic. The idea, what do we do when somebody walks in and brazenly shoplifts? Do we stop them? Do we not? And I'm not going to answer that question for anyone else but myself. For me, I think, generally speaking, I think that I would let them go on the whole, only because I know that my employer is not going to back me up, probably, you know, if I get into a scrap with someone, if I have a problem. But like I said, I can't answer that question for everybody. Everyone's a little bit different, and everyone has a different set of circumstances and experiences. So just kind of walk us through where you were, what time of day it was, and what did you observe exactly?
All right. So it was about, like 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. And I was just working on the register as I normally do. And the guy, I didn't even notice when he came into the store, but he had been, I guess, walking around gathering the items he was going to steal. He had like a little fabric basket full of things. And then on his way out, he had a couple cases of like Bud Light beer. Ugh. And at a certain time at night, because we have two doors that you can enter the store in with like a partition in the middle, so they're split. Mm-hmm. And we lock the door that's farthest from the register and leave the one closest open. And so the man was waiting down an aisle watching until I got distracted with another customer and went to go make his grand escape. And he went for the door that was locked. And so when he did that, he fumbled and dropped some of the stuff he had. And I looked over, and that's when I noticed he had all that stuff. And, you know, I always thought to myself, I wouldn't go after someone who's stealing either. But I don't know, something in me was like, I'm going to go get one of those cases of, at least one of those cases of beer from him. Cause, you know, I felt like I was being played for a fool, you know, like, right. Oh, he's waiting until I'm distracted, going to take this stuff and going to hit, he's going to come back and do it again the next night. But if I show him, you know, he ain't going to get away with this, maybe he ain't going to come back and do it again.
So was,
and
the, was
luckily
the,
for me, he didn't put up a fight or anything like that.
Right.
He just kept walking straight on. And
so what did he, at some point, the company policy, was that as far as the doors go, was that a set thing where you lock one set of doors at a certain time of night? That's something that's normal procedure.
Yes. That's in the store policy.
Yeah, and I've noticed, I always wondered about that, because I'll go to my local Safeway at like, you know, 9:05 PM or whatever it is. And of course, park my car near to one set of doors, and God and baby Jesus are like, no, you got to get your steps in. Those doors are locked. You got to walk all the way to the other end of the thing. And it's very frustrating.
Yeah.
But I need the exercise.
It's to disrupt the flow of, you know, traffic in and out of the store.
Yeah, it makes sense now.
One way.
I learned something just now, so that's good. And if you don't mind me asking, the company policy as it relates to you stopping a shoplifter, is there one? And if so, what is that? What are they telling you you're supposed to do in this situation?
The policy is for us to not confront them, but to watch them, and they'll tell us to use there's ways they'll teach us in like the training videos to try and deter thieves. Mm-hmm. One of them they'll say is to like go up to them and you know, put on that customer service attitude, be like, oh, is there anything I can help you with? Is there something you're looking for? This or that? And that does work sometimes. But, you know, if they've already got merchandise, they're just going to walk out of the store and take what they have.
Right.
But,
and where you are, is this a big problem? I mean, I know Houston's got its share of crime problems. Is it a constant thing? Like every day this happens or very frequently?
It's a big problem at my store and surrounding stores. My store specifically, though, we are $150,000 in stolen products over the last 3 months.
At one location?
That's just one location.
That, I don't know how you stay in business. I mean, I know you told me that what store it was. We're not going to talk about it, but it's a very popular store. It's almost, they're almost everywhere. And the idea, it's not Walmart. And the idea that they could withstand that seems astonishing to me. You know, I haven't been in loss prevention since the late 80s, so I'm not sure what goes on these days, but $150K, that's a lot of cheddar to be losing, you know, just, and that's, you know, there's loss from other stuff. There's damage and there's breakage and whatever, but
right, of course.
So that's just from theft.
That's just from theft. Yes.
Yeah. That's insane.
And that's just one store.
I don't know how anyone stays in business like that. And where you live,
if you look into it, they're not doing too well, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, I will. again, with the company we're not mentioning.
Yeah.
You know, I know from, you know, you watch the news, you see, like I mentioned before, the California thing. And a lot of that out there, at least, has to do with the fact that local district attorneys and police aren't enforcing these sort of, you know, petty theft laws. They're letting people get away with it. They're not right. arresting, or they're letting them right back out of jail. Is that the case in Houston as well? Is that a thing that's going on? I wasn't aware of it, if it is.
It doesn't seem to be. I mean, you know, not on paper, it doesn't seem to be the same case, but it does appear to be what it is. It seems like the police around here prioritize specific matters over other ones. For example, that night, for the, you know, the instance where I'm on this podcast for, after that all unfolded, I contacted the police department so they could come out and review the footage, whatever. And they didn't want to do that because we've called them so often and frequently to report theft that they don't even waste their time coming out. So they told me to report it on this website online. I don't remember what the website was, but yeah, you know, that's where we're at.
Yeah, that feels a lot like you're being blown off, frankly. And I don't blame the individual yeah. officers or anything, but if that's their policy, you know, look, Houston's busy. There's a lot of serious crime going on. I understand that. But the problem is yeah. there's a thing called the broken windows theory of law enforcement that I subscribe to some of its tenets, not all of them. But the way the theory goes is if you have a part of town, you know, that's kind of run down and, you know, somebody comes along and breaks a window with a rock and then that window stays broken. Other people come by and they're like, oh, that window's broken. I'll break the rest of them. No one's going to do anything about it. And then people start to tag it up and put graffiti and yeah. crime goes nuts. And the idea is you got to sort of nip it in the bud at the earliest level. I think Houston's way beyond that at this point. And I'm not sure what you can do to solve the problem, but allowing this sort of thing to go unchecked is not helpful at all. It's, you know, it's not the officers, the individual officers' fault that this is a policy, but if that's a policy, it's like they've given up on trying to make things right. any better. And I don't know enough about Houston. I don't know what all the political situation is there or whatever, but that's unfortunate. So back to your incident. When you were you helping a customer when he tried to make his unsuccessful initial exit?
Yeah, I was. I was just ringing them up and I, like I said, he hit the door that was locked, so he dropped some of the stuff,
right?
And that's how I noticed he was trying to get out.
And when you looked over at the guy, did he look homeless? Did he look like a gangbanger type or just a regular dude?
Yeah, he looked like he was a homeless guy. He looked older, homeless, maybe in his mid-50s.
So there's no chance that he was stealing that Bud Light for his children. You know, people like to say, oh, they went in to get a loaf of bread to feed their family. It's like, that's rarely the case. Usually it's a flat screen, you know, and a bottle right. of Mad Dog 2020. So we don't think he was stealing the Bud Light for his children at home. Okay.
We said no, that. I don't think any of the kids had sore gums that night.
That was good. Hey, I'm the funny guy on this podcast, all right? Watch it. Excuse me. All right. So he seemed homeless-ish, whatever. How far is he from you when you see him drop the stuff and kind of fumble around? Is he 10 feet, 20 feet?
Yeah, probably about maybe, yeah, like 10, 15 feet.
And you come out from around the counter, and do you say anything to him?
No, I didn't say anything to him. I just went for the closest case of beer that was right there in his hand, and I grabbed that, and he just let go of it. So I tossed it behind me, and I started walking out the door with him, and he just kept walking and just slowly, like, shedding the items he had, even the backpack that was on his back. I don't even know if there was anything in the backpack, but he just started dropping everything he had and just kept walking straight with his head tucked down. I think he was more just embarrassed than anything.
Would you, if you had to guess, I know you're not an expert, but if you had to guess, would you say it was more of a mental illness problem or a drug addiction or a little of both?
Yeah, I think it's probably more of an addiction problem. You know?
Yeah. That's so frequently the case.
Some beer for the night.
Yeah. My old church I used to go to out in California, but full of people that I still adore. There's a huge homeless problem. You know, there's a park right in front and you have to run this gauntlet, you know, to get from your car to the front door. And it's very, oh, yeah. This is not Otis the bum from the Andy Griffith Show, you know, who's hiccuping on the sidewalk. These are very aggressive, very angry, very hostile you know, people. And I assume Houston has its share of homeless problems like every other city in the country.
Yeah, but absolutely.
But it is a problem. And it's another thing that needs to be addressed in some organized way. And I just have never seen it addressed properly in any city that I've lived in. I come from DC. I don't know anymore. I haven't been there in a while. But when I lived there, it was a big problem. There was homeless people all over the place. And it's a problem in California as well. And until gets addressed, things are going to continue to happen.
Working at a store like what I worked at, I've had so many interactions with people like that you couldn't even imagine. And you know, something I picked up on, and it's not the case for all of them, but a lot of these people, they don't want help.
Right.
They don't want help. They're comfortable in the ways that they're set in, and that's what they want to do. And it sucks because they're drag everybody else down with them when they do that.
I have an anecdotal story about going, me and my friend Chris, back in the day. I was in high school, I think, or maybe my first year of college. And we went to this local diner we liked so much. And there was a guy out front asking for money. And I was like, I don't have any cash. And he was still there as we were eating. So I ordered him a meal. I ordered him a hamburger and some fries and a soda to go. And I walked out front and said, "Here you go, man." And he slapped it out of my hand and told me to go F myself. So, you know, he said he needed money for food, and I offered him food, and that food was roundly rejected. So, and unfortunately, that's been my experience 9 times out of 10 when interacting with a homeless person. And that's unfortunate. And side note, if you're listening to this, I'm telling you, do not hand money to a homeless person. Man, you got dogs, you got airplanes. It is busy over there. Do not hand money to a homeless person on the street. You are not helping them. You are actively hurting them by handing them cash money. You know, I'll keep bottled water and like trail mix and stuff in my car. And if they want something, I can give them that, because 99.9 times out of 100, that money is going to fuel their addiction and keep them in the position that they're in. And as Caleb said, most of them do not want your help. They find it condescending. So that's unfortunate, but true. Once again, back to you. We get far afield here, Caleb. Once again, back to your incident. So he walks off into the night. The police don't show up. I have to ask, did your management not know about this? Did you get in trouble? Did they review the tape? And you got disciplined or anything?
No trouble came of it. I did timestamp it on a piece of paper for my manager to check the cameras when he got to the office that morning. But he never came and talked to me about it. I never got in trouble or was reprimanded for it. So, you know, I mean, I don't really know what his thought process on that was. I'm guessing maybe he was just kind of happy I stopped someone from stealing, but knew that if he escalated that in any way, I might end up in trouble. So maybe he figured it was best to just leave it be.
If I put myself in his position, and you're a fine young man, and I like you having you as an employee, and I'm your manager, I know that if I even acknowledge that this happened, then I have to fire you, or I have to report it, or whatever. So I'm going to go with that's probably what went through his head during that period of time. So moving forward, is there anything, you know, work or, you know, in work or out of work that you are doing to prepare yourself for the next time something happens? Are you being proactive, or do you feel like you did the best you could and you're going to move on with your life?
I feel like I did pretty all right for myself. I think I shouldn't have followed him out of the store. I think I messed up there, and that was a big no-no, because, you know, you never know what happens when you go out the door. I've heard that lesson on the channel many times.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you never know what's going to happen in the store, frankly. And this is the part where I hope I'm not trying to sound hard on you at all. I think you're a fine young man, and I would employ you in a heartbeat, but I just don't like the idea that you're working for a company that evidently doesn't care about its own losses, and you're protecting their property from theft. If they knew what you did, they probably would discipline you or fire you, which is insane to me. And the possibility of running into that homeless guy who doesn't care about going to jail and whips out a knife, or God forbid, a box cutter or something else, and gets to work on you terrifies me. Not a criticism. I wouldn't want to see you get hurt is what I guess what I'm getting at.
I understand.
So is there anything else you wanted to talk? I don't want to leave anything out, Caleb, before we part ways.
No. I mean, I don't know. I think we pretty much touched on everything here. I guess one of the things I wanted to mention, though, about this is more on why I chose to go after him was it is because, and it's something that bugs me, is they'll, like I said, it's in the store policy. They'll say, you know, don't try to stop the shoplifters. Don't confront them. Don't take the items from them, you know. But then there'll be days I come into work and they'll show me on camera someone was stealing that night. And they'll be like, you got to make sure you're watching the store, make sure people don't steal this or that. And they'll kind of get on me for it. So it's like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Because they're just going to steal if they're going to steal.
That's catch 22. I hope they're not implying that you're somehow in on it or complacent. I mean, if their policy is you don't interrupt the shoplifting, then what exactly do they want you to do, right?
Yeah. No, I don't think it's that. I think it's just really more, you know, just the lack of communication from corporate and then the store level employees. Right. You know, they want us to do one thing, but then they'll get mad at us for this other thing. Like, you know, they tell us don't stop the thieves, but then they're mad because our store has so much money in stolen product, you know, and they're trying to reprimand my manager for it, you know. So, you know, people don't want to lose their jobs, you know, so what do you do?
Right. No, it's a catch 22 for sure. And, you know, I know what it's like to feel the pressure over not performing in a way I'm expected to perform at a job in because of circumstances entirely out of my control. So you're not the only one, I guess is what I'm trying to say. All right, folks, check it out.
I don't plan to stick around there much longer. I'm gonna probably, you know, put in applications and we'll go, you know, work somewhere else where I'm not involved in or around so much drama.
Yeah, I don't blame you. So listen up, folks. This fine young man is potentially a budding songwriter. So thousands and thousands of you listen to the podcast and watch it on the app. So reach out to me if you're in the music industry and have a job for him. I will get his information to you and connect you two together. Otherwise, Caleb, man, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for having me, Mike. Man, it was such a treat. Honestly, it really was.